You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Good morning, and thank you to Susanna Duffy, as always, for Left After Breakfast. My name's Amy, and you're now listening to 3CR Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence. Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence is brought to you from the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Woiwurrung Nation. I acknowledge their unceded sovereignty, and I encourage people to support all First Nations people in their struggle for land back, sovereignty, truth and justice, and self-determination. You can do that by listening to our deadly First Nations broadcasters. And we'll be back after this little spit.
Slums in some metropolitan centers are coming down, condemned by forward-looking civic governments. Down are coming the bad living conditions that produce bad citizens.
The practical uses of asbestos are very numerous. At least 18,000 articles are made of it.
In the spring, the nature-loving Australian goes bush. The wife washes and the dishes dry themselves.
It's a serial pest.
Cities within cities, scientifically planned and built, where a man and his family with a small income can live with comfort and dignity as investments in democracy.
And that's right, out of the rubbish tip and straight to your ears is me, Amy, from Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence, a show about how, you know, we live in these little cities and suburbs, and they're kind of full of all these things that aren't very eco-friendly, and they're very alienating and put people into little boxes and causes all kinds of issues that aren't really good for the way humans like to live in community, but also for the environment. And today is going to be a very Kill Your Lawn episode. There's a really amazing group I've had on the show before called Urban Gorillas. And today I have Beth from Urban Gorillas in the studio with me. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you going?
Oops. Ooh, guess you'll say that again. That was my bad.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, thank you. Now, Beth, you've come here to promote an event today, but I'd like to know a bit more about you, if that's cool.
Yeah, of course.
So what's your connection to Urban Gorillas? How are you involved?
Well, currently I'm a vice president, but I, like most people who get involved, saw them on social media.
Yeah.
And I was living in Burwood at the time and around the corner.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of volunteering with research projects,
because
I'm doing my Masters of Environment and I've done like a Bachelor of Zoology.
Yeah.
And then I had a little baby. And
oh,
I thought, the uni insurance won't cover me going out into the field and volunteering anymore, so I better find a community group that won't say no.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I rocked up with like a little four-month-old baby on my back and got into mulching. And then I've been with them ever since.
Nice. And have you done any, like, so is that like your main capacity in the group, or what else do you do?
So I do all of the fun admin behind the scenes.
Yep, cool.
So, yeah, we've got the planting behind the Deakin University.
Yep.
That's probably our most popular one.
Is this, which campus is this?
This is the Burwood campus.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, yep. So just along Gardiner's Creek there.
Yep.
And then we've got two new sites starting this year, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
So one's in Rooks Reserve.
Yep.
And so the 25th, the Tuesday afternoon, we're going to have a nice relaxed introduction weeding session where Draw Plants Together is going to come with us, and we're all going to do some little nature drawing, which will be nice and wholesome.
Yeah.
And then we've got a new site up in Upper Way.
Oh, cool.
Which is a bit of a jump away.
Yeah.
But like a lovely ferny gully.
Yeah, that's really cool. And can I ask what drew you to this kind of work and this kind of group, like this kind of environmental work?
Oh, I kind of just stumbled into it. Yeah. So growing up, I got that question of, what do you want to do?
Hmm.
And I liked animals. So the options were like zookeeper or vet.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to be either of them. And I met this zoologist, and they came and they said, this is a slime mold.
A slime mold?
Yeah.
What's a slime mold? No.
Oh, it's like exactly what it seems like. It's kind of like a plant, but it moves and eats.
Oh, cool.
So it's like a living slime, and it eats on like, I don't know, bits of wood and things.
Yeah.
And
so it's like a decomposer.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, I found it, and then I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to reach for that. I changed my entire North Star to become a zoologist and then realized that's not really a thing anymore, and they're all ecologists.
Yeah, everyone's into ecology these days.
Yeah. And it makes sense. Yeah. To support the animals, you've got to support the plants.
Yeah.
And I know next to nothing about plants.
Yeah.
So I jumped ship, finished my Bachelor of Zoology.
Yep.
And then have gone into the Master of Environment and Conservation Restoration at Melbourne Uni, trying to learn plants.
Yeah.
And I'm not one to just look at a book or look at a field guide and know what they are. So I was like, I'll get in the thick of it.
Yeah, that's
and I'll
amazing.
Learn what they are, like, I'll put them in.
And I kind of feel like it's a great connection to have to, you know, stewarding and looking after nature and plants, is that to know that actually animals have a very significant place in that system, in that ecosystem as well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really interesting the more you look into it, and you can see all of these other problems that we have and how they just interconnect between just community of like the animals included.
Yeah.
So with all of the like horrific bushfires we've got now and then the contentious argument of, do we burn, do we not burn, how do we clear this fuel? And then you realize that bandicoots and lyrebirds, they bury the fuel. And that's how previously they did fuel reduction.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And so, we have a First Nations elder at the station called Uncle Robbie Thorpe. And I remember I was talking to him about how I saw this documentary on TV called The Australian Wild Odyssey, which is a documentary that was on ABC. You can still watch it if people are interested. It follows the journey of water from the top of so-called Australia all the way down. And it just looks at all these conservation efforts and First Nations people like protecting country. And one of the things they looked at was the dingo fence in New South Wales. And one side of the dingo fence where the dingoes are allowed to be in roam, it's a desert, but it's lush and green. And then the other side where the sheep and all the cattle, it's a dead, like, red area. And it's because the dingo, as the apex predator, actually is a great control for invasive species like feral cats and wild dogs. And it allows those smaller marsupials to return. And then Uncle Robbie added, but also First Nations people were a part of the ecology too. And that's a really big point he makes on his show as well. And I feel like it's really good that we're living in a time where there's so many younger people who are coming to ecology, who are wanting to bring this stuff back, who are wanting to work with First Nations people and also wanting to like see nature sort of return and find ways to facilitate that in our complicated little world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's great that we're no longer looking at the white guy of academia to tell us how things are run.
Yeah.
And instead being like, yeah, the First Nations looked after and managed the land so sustainably.
Yeah.
Like millennia. Well, we just took 200 years to ruin it.
Yeah.
So why would we look back to the European way of doing it?
And that European mindset didn't think of them as sophisticated, but the more we learn and understand from them, we realize that they were incredibly sophisticated.
Yeah. And still are, to have it still be going. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. I've seen things about First Nations art and language and culture, which, you know, say it's some of the most interesting and complex in the world. And I think that's a beautiful thing about human creativity, is that human creativity and milestones don't have to be measured in tall concrete buildings. sorry, I got a bit sidetracked. I just like having little chats with people and discussing these things.
I think it's a really interesting bit where so much of, you think of environment and you think of ecology, and the sciencey people go straight into science.
Mm.
And then the non-sciencey people say like, that's too much for me, I'll back off. And so you don't think of the environment and art, because it's so interconnected. Like we get our paints from like rocks and pigments.
Yeah.
And we get our inspiration from just like sitting down at a stream.
Yeah.
And like when you're a little kid, you're just out there running around and drawing things in the sand. So it's funny to see how we get older and how we go into, I don't know, I guess modern society, it just breaks and be like, no, art is a fun hobby. And the environment's something that we use and go towards a finance bro.
Well, I feel like we're on a similar wavelength here. And you've come here to tell us about an event today.
Yes.
That Urban Gorillas is doing. How about we hear about this?
So on the 23rd, not this Sunday, but the Sunday after, at the Retreat Hotel, we've got our annual fundraiser.
Mm.
So this year we've tried to make it a little bit bigger and then give back to the community that supports us.
Yeah.
So we help Waddle, which is another youth-focused environmental group working along the Burong. And then we've raised a whole lot of generously donated gifts.
Yeah.
And we're going to raffle them off and listen to some great bands.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Who are the bands?
The bands are Tracksuit Larry.
Yep.
Pavani.
Ah.
Daniel Aaron and Supermodels.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they're all going to play for us. And then the proceeds are going to be split up between Waddle and Urban Gorillas.
Yeah.
And then also the Treaty and Para, which helps support like Palestinians who have settled in Australia, then helps provide more resources to them.
Yeah. And Treaty as in Victoria People's Assembly?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I met Damien Bell, who I don't know if he still is, but he was the CEO of the Victorian Victorian People's Assembly. And he's also done quite notably a lot of important work in supporting queer mob, LGBT plus mob. He was saying that one of the things that's mattered most in his conversations going around Victoria, talking to First Nations people about what they want, is care for country, is taking care of it, restoring it, protecting it, like from things like the mining industry and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see you working with them on that. Yeah. It's a good way forward to get the money flowing to things that are important like that. Yeah,
the money and the awareness, and just know that we're not all fighting the fight alone. We've got some allies around.
Yeah. So let's get into a bit more of the details. So how does the event start? How long is it going to go for?
5 till 9 p.m.
5 till 9 p.m. And the date again?
Oh, the 23rd.
23rd. Okay, so what happens in the first hour?
So the first hour, we're going to do a little overview, talk about what we are, hear a little spiel, and then get broken up with Tracksuit Larry. So they're at 5:15.
Yeah.
And then we've got someone from, I think it's Jordan from National Parks Association.
Yeah.
He's going to come in, give another little spiel, give something fun while the band's set up in the background.
Yeah.
And then, just track through, have a... So the band start hourly from 5:15, and then after their 45-minute set, they're going to have little intermissions by people who want to go in and speak about things, like the para talks and the national parks, and then end it with like a big raffle and give away all of our prizes.
Yeah. Oh, cool. And so how can people find out like where to go and everything. It's like online resources. I'll also put notes in the show notes today, but can you like share some ways that people can find out more about the event?
Yeah, of course. So the easiest way is to head to our Instagram.
Yep.
So Urban Gorillas Official.
Yeah.
And that's gorilla spelled like gorilla gardening, yep, not like the ape.
Yeah.
And then we've got it pinned there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can go to the Retreat Hotel because it's in Brunswick and they've got the event right running up.
Okay, yeah.
So $20 for a ticket online or $25 at the door.
Yep.
$10 for the displaced.
Yep.
And then if you're a mob, you've got free entry. You just have to let us know so we can put you down for capacity.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so how's it to get to? Is it like on a bush trail or anything, or is it quite easy to access?
Oh, the Retreat Hotel.
Oh, the Retreat Hotel. Sorry, my brain froze for a second. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
through so a bush, bush access through the middle of Brunswick.
Yep.
you can park if you want to fight for parking, public transport.
Yep. Okay, cool. Perfect. And so I thought we might go for a little break now and then we'll come back after that.
Yeah, perfect.
So we're going to be back after some messages, people, and maybe a song as well.
Public transport's great.
What's not great is that unless you've got a radio with you, you can't listen to 3CR when you're on it.
Until now. The Community Radio Plus app lets you listen to us wherever you are.
Get on board and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
As we are human, so we are creative. Creativity is inherent within us all. Creating affirms more than consuming. No creative pursuit is gender bound. The trans, gender diverse and non-binary culture is valid, critical, vital and vibrant. The mainstream culture relies on our culture, not vice versa. The Trans Creatives Global Corporation presents the Trans Creator Radio, a cacophony of trans love, community and hubris. Trans Creator Radio is a community radio show whose principal interests are creativity, cultural hyper-awareness, extreme social assertiveness, minimal apologetics, and sheer ostentatiousness.
Fortnightly on Friday from 9 to 10 a.m.
Welcome to Trans Creator Radio on 3CR.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, folks. Our computer is needing to be rebooted. That's okay. I can fix that in a second. Oh, is it working now? Yep, it's working. All right. This is Liberty Parade by the Crop Tops. Great little local band.
I guess it's a day never really feeling special. Stare at the ceiling, take a walk, maybe even try to get dressed. Don't get the blues on the wrong side of town, you can get lost here. I have a flower full of aphids, but I'm giving it my best. Wishing the new by the creek and hurt the door against their eyes on me.
And that was Liberty Parade by a local group, the Crop Tops. They're a great little group who do also support a lot of fundraisers and mutual aid events, and you can usually catch them at those sorts of things. And I think I've seen them at Cafe Gummo as well. So we're back here with Beth from Urban Gorillaz. You're listening to 3CR Cool Lawn. And we were just talking about a really cool event, which we'll hear one more time in a little bit. But I just wanted to ask Beth, what's the plan for 2026 for Urban Gorillaz? We're getting towards the end of the year. What kind of things can people expect if they want to get involved with Urban Gorillaz? I've seen you do lots of good classes and weeding and like practical things, but also educational things.
Yeah, so if no one knows us, we're a youth-focused environmental group currently in the Melbourne's eastern suburbs, so based around Burwood, and we do restoration, and then we also do, like, try and bring community together by doing educational workshops. So, as I said previously, we've got two new sites, one in Rooks Reserve in Nutterwadding, and then one somewhere in Upway. That's just at the beginnings of it.
Yeah.
And next year, we're just hoping to expand and hoping to kind of get in. We're going to work with Darabin Creek Management Committee again, if you kind of can't get out to the eastern suburbs, so that we can come in and see what we're doing.
Yeah.
And
I'm actually really glad you're doing work with them, because I think it's good that to see. I love the Merri Creek, but I feel like they've had so much investment and it's needs more, like keep doing the great work at the Merri Creek, but it's good to see other creeks to get some of that love and that community care, because some of the other creeks around Melbourne are pretty much just like full of invasive species and, you know, kind of quite, you know, disappointingly, like, you know, not in the best condition. Yeah,
that's it. Well, you kind of forget that it's all the catchment is all connected, so the water comes from the mountains and kind of trickles down, and by the time it makes it through the concrete bits of the city, it's a bit gross.
Yeah, and restoring aquatic plants and indigenous species around there, it all contributes to that ecosystem we were talking about before and can actually help heal the water and heal the river, particularly with managing like pollution and stuff that often happens with those rivers through stormwater as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The roots do wonderful work for kind of filtering out pollutants before it gets into the ocean.
Yeah.
And then having little fish communities vibe in the roots too.
Yeah, and then also the birds and all the other little critters that live around it as well.
Yeah. That's it. It's all connected.
Yeah. I think it's a really good initiative as well, because there'll be a lot of young people who will be wanting to do this kind of work. Like, there's a lot of young people who want their careers to be something meaningful in the climate crisis / apocalypse. You know, they want to do something with their employment that actually helps the world or helps people, and I see a lot of young people heading in that direction, so a group like yours can really give people a taste of that world and maybe inspire others to keep growing that. Because one of the things I was talking about with I think the president last time, what was his name again?
Sam
was how when you actually work in those industries, they're actually going to be quite disappointing. And there's a lot of issues with, like, it doesn't really feel like those industries are really about, you know, the stewardship of nature, and more just about, you know, we've got a budget and we're just going to quickly, you know, spray some weeds and mow some lawns and just get out of there or something like that. So it's really inspiring, because these groups, I see them as like ripples in a pond. And they lead to people wanting to see more and do more, and getting people's like toes dipped into this kind of stuff makes them more active, in my opinion. And I always encourage people to get involved in this stuff, because it means that they'll go on and see good things with their hands, with their eyes, and hopefully inspire them to keep going and keep changing things. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I've said to many a people when they ask us why we don't have more youth in the environmental volunteer space, is just a disconnect between it. Because every young person I know cares about the environment.
Mm.
And I think they're just put in and told that there's no jobs in it.
Yeah.
And there's so many jobs, but you're right, those jobs can be a bit depressing.
Mm.
So it's right to come together and get your fingers in the dirt and feel all the microbes and smell it all.
Yeah. And like I was looking at there was an article, it was a news story this week that went, I think it was on the ABC, and they were talking about how there's a lack of faith in democracy in the in the regional and rural areas. And I think they've got plenty of good reason, actually. It's kind of, political leaders have let us down a lot. But I think part of the issue, particularly in regional and rural areas for youth, is what futures do they have? You know, there's a lot of lack of investment in terms of employment and in community infrastructure and community supports. It's like well known, it's been an issue forever. And I always say, well, you know, caring for country, doing environmental work, like doing that, you know, important healing and building relationships with First Nations people and trying to decolonize this place, you know, these are things that could give people's lives meaning. These are things that could actually give people lives that are actually worth living, you know, because a lot of people, particularly in regional and rural areas and even out, you know, across the everywhere, are just, you know, feeling a bit doomer, really, because things are pretty bleak right now, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And no one's listening.
Yeah.
Like, I lived in Armidale, New South Wales, which is kind of halfway between Brisbane and Sydney, hours in.
Yeah.
And I lovingly moved to Melbourne the week of the lockdowns.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah. We've made it through it. And but like previously was the 2019-2020 fires.
Yeah.
And everyone, I think
that devastated
a huge,
Victoria, yeah.
Yeah, devastated just Australia.
Yeah.
Because there's a huge disconnect
between,
oh, the fires are happening. But I think when you're, like, everyone was asking me, like, how was COVID? How is being locked inside?
Yeah.
And I was like, last summer, or like even 3 months ago, I couldn't go outside because it was literally on fire. And like I couldn't open windows because the smoke was coming in. I wasn't allowed to have an asthma puffer because they had such a limited supply.
Mm.
And it's the first time in my life that I sat there and said, oh, if I get in a car, no matter what road I go down, I will be stopped by a fire. So I'm going to have to get all of the animals that I've kind of gathered into my family and somehow put them all in a bag and sit down if it worst comes to worst.
Yeah.
And like, luckily it didn't, but it didn't for me. So I can see how that lack of democracy is changing, particularly with the Liberals getting rid of their net zero policy and the Labor changing their nature laws.
Yep.
So it does seem like there's no hope.
Mm.
But I think there's so many people, particularly in the grassroots space, that all feel this way and are all changing.
Yeah.
So you can all just rally together and like change generally happens from the top down, but it can definitely happen from the bottom up.
Yeah, and I think they want us divided, and they want us the, you know, the fossil fuel companies, those of all the power, they want us divided, and they also want us to be depressed and inactive and, you know, disengaged. And it, you know, what makes a democracy is an engaged engaged public and constituency. We've pretty much, you've got to go, you've got a babysitter and stuff, but well, here one last time, where people can go to check out this cool event and what time it is. Not in the bush. Sorry, it's early morning for me and sometimes my brain is slow. also how to follow you again.
Yeah, not in the bush. The smack bang middle of the city.
Yep.
So Retreat Hotel, Brunswick, 23rd of November. We've timed it so you can finish the rally, if there was a rally still happening, and then kind of come in. Starts at 5, finishes at 9 p.m. And, yeah, you can support. So find tickets through the Eventbrite or through the Urban Gorillas Instagram, the Wattle Volunteers Instagram or the Retreat Hotel website.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Well, I'm looking forward to having you guys on next year again with whatever cool stuff that you've got organized. I love hearing about all your events. And, yeah, keep killing lawns and keep restoring beautiful native ecosystems. It's been really lovely to meet you, Beth.
Yeah, it's been lovely to be in the show. It's lovely to kind of
talk
to other people who are passionate about the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening. We'll be back after some messages in this song. This is NBNV by Davessa. Minor language warning on this track.
Betrayed us, noble warrior. But I won't be sworn at and I won't be bossed around. That includes them, the big bosses. They won't be bossing me around either. I will find a way.
Rents are through the roof. The cost of living is skyrocketing and public housing is under attack. How do we fight back? Join us on Wednesday, the 26th of November from 6 p.m. at RMIT University's City Campus for From Housing Crisis to Dwelling Justice, a free public event that gets to the heart of the housing struggle. Featuring the premiere of Bay Views for All, a documentary about the fight to save the Barrack Beacon public housing estate, and a panel discussion with public housing residents, activists, and experts, this is one you won't want to miss. Register for a free ticket at events.humanitix.com/crisis-2-justice.
It's never occurred to them they've actually got something valuable here.
A 3CR supporter.
Telling the Albanese government how to protect nature might feel a bit like teaching them to suck eggs. But too often, governments side with big corporations over your health, your climate, and your children's future. As they rewrite Australia's nature law, they must close deforestation loopholes and protect threatened species. It's literally their job. Head to wilderness.org.au/suckeggs to demand laws that put nature and our future first. The Wilderness Society is a 3CR supporter.
That's right. Protect nature. Thanks again to Beth and Urban Gorillas for coming on the show before. You're listening to 3CR 855 on your AM dial or at 3cr.org.au/streaming or on the Community Radio Plus app. I am Amy, your host until 10 o'clock, until we go to think again. I hope you're doing well. I had an interesting week. I burnt my finger on a mower, mowing lawns, the things that I want to get rid of. and then I put it under some running water and managed to keep up with the water. Didn't run away from me. And yeah, other than that, it's been hectic. I did my first episode. I'm now part of the Stick Together team. And that's been pretty exciting. So if you don't know who Stick Together is, that's our national union news and views, worker news stories show. You can listen back at 3cr.org/au/stick together. And yeah, I'm pretty much winding up for the year. I will be back next year, but I've got one more episode left in me. I'm pretty exhausted after a very busy year. In fact, I did not have time this week to do an urban wasteland survival guide and a cool stuff segment, but I will be doing them next week. Next fortnight for the last episode of the year. And the last episode of the year, I'm planning on doing something special for 16 days of against gender-based violence as well. Because of course, as you've probably heard me say on the show before, the alienation, the breaking us up all into little boxes, tall fences, you know, having someone who's a perpetrator of domestic violence, usually a man, in charge of a little family behind closed doors is a real issue. And so I think there's a real link here between how we design our living spaces, how they're so anti-community, and how they can help make the issue of gender-based violence and domestic violence worse. So that's my little take. And there's been examples of women constantly throughout all the world who've just banded together, lived in community. There's an example I've talked about before where some Marxist feminists from the 70s kicked down fences and sort of redesigned how they live together and take care of each other and share the workload. It's a pretty... it sounds like a radical concept, but when you think about it, this is actually how humans have lived for most of human history, in community, rather than this sort of individualized way of living. And it goes back to a lot of things. To sort of pin it all on one thing, how we do things today is probably, you know, it doesn't do justice to the multifacetedness of these issues. But people might remember when I first did this show, I started on, I think it was late November when I did my first episode last year. And then, of course, being the end of the year, my potential guests were all on holiday. So I had to do a couple weeks of just making up my own stuff. And I did an episode called, which I've got to re-upload at some point. I still haven't uploaded it. Lawns and Liberalisms, A Tale of Two Steves. And for that, I read a couple of books, a couple of classics on liberalism and an introductory textbook on liberalism. And I used the word liberalisms because there's actually like, to call something liberal is not like actually a really effective, like it's not actually very clear. There's obviously what people tend to mean by a liberal, particularly in the United States. But actually the way this textbook described it is there's all these different kinds of liberalisms in history of liberalism and since its early foundings. And they all, if you can sort of imagine little pieces of paper put on top of each other with little holes. And so some liberals will have certain things in common. You can maneuver the papers and that'll be someone's liberalism. And then you can maneuver it another way and it'll be quite different, but they have similar things in common. And I think one of the things that happened with the Industrial Revolution was, of course, around that time was also capitalism. And you had all those old white dudes talking about it, talking about how it was bad or talking about how it was good. And this like individuality, more like a sense of like a right to private space and private thought and ideas like from John Stuart Mill's, like the tyranny of the majority, which kind of is an interesting concept because when you think about it, tyranny of the majority sounds like, you know, if I think about it as like an LGBT plus person and I'm in a part of the world where, say, the majority of the population is hostile to me, there's a tyranny of the majority there. But I think that when generally the classical liberals were talking about it, they were talking about it in a really elitist sense and a sort of anti-worker, anti-proletariat sense. So I think that really actually the tyranny of majority was more about people in power and people wanting to be the ones in power, maintaining that power. But then, of course, if you follow the history of liberalism, you'll also know that it's got this whole anti-tyranny vibe to it. So it's kind of a complicated, it's kind of a complicated history. Generally speaking, I don't like liberalism. It may have a few ideas, but I don't think that are okay, but I don't think that it needs to necessarily have the monopoly on it. Like, you know, living in an egalitarian society, or, you know, cosmopolitanism where, you know, maybe you don't agree with everyone, but you can all live together. Like, I think that you can find those sentiments in many other political ideologies and communities and, yeah, different groups around the world. And so why am I talking about liberalism again? Well, it's that idea that this individualism, which has sort of become its own thing, its own new beast under neoliberalism. And what we have in today's society is hyper-individualism, hyper-self-dependence and self-reliance, and encouraging of that. And it's not, again, to just say that all those things are bad, but it's just to talk about the fact that community has been so devalued, and community infrastructure and people coming together to deal with issues is really weak across all kinds of things, whether it's the union movement, whether it's the grassroots activism scene. It's really taken some hits over the course of, you know, several decades since the 1980s. Bob Hawke is our guy for bringing neoliberalism in here. It's worth pointing out that a Labour prime minister is guilty of that. It was Margaret Thatcher in the UK, Ronald Reagan in the US. It's Bob Hawke here, because Bob Hawke was part of a shift in the Labour Party away from its roots, even though those roots also had problems. So this show is all about community, and it's all about kicking down fences and how we can do that, but also sometimes thinking about how we got here and how we can understand that. We're going to go to another song, and then I'll be back with you. I haven't got any other guests or anything planned for today, so I'm just sort of riffing, a bit exhausted. But next week, next fortnight, I've definitely got a pretty interesting show lined up for the last one of the year. And then after that, this slot will be playing repeats, the best of from the show, including, I'm pretty excited to replay certain interviews with certain people, like my interview with Anitra Nelson, the APR Collective, Willow, from Catalyst, and that really, really free market. So I've had a lot of really interesting interviews with people. So I'm hoping to replay a bunch of those. And I'm also going to replay my other segment that I did for DID Awareness Day, Dissociative Identity Disorder Awareness Day. And I'm hoping to do some other special mental health programming next year. So yeah, let's go to another song. All trans, local trans bands today who do lovely things like support community, do fundraisers and stuff like that. And I just kind of want to highlight, you know, that's a really great way. I used to be like a very active musician, and as you've probably noticed from my own little musical stings and stuff that I've done on this show. And so I think that investing in community infrastructure in music and using that as ways to support community and build our own local communities that are like artistic communities, rather than striving to, you know, be famous and make money out of all this stuff, because to me, I'm gonna sound a little bit like a old curmudgeon Theodore Adorno and say that the culture industry really does kill creativity, and it actually is the antithesis of individuality, the positive parts of it at least anyway, and that local community made and controlled music is the best music. So we're going to go now to Ishta and the Quarter Life Crisis. I caught Ishta at a fundraiser gig for another Ishta Hope, who was on the show a while back. And that's probably another one I'll replay over the holidays. Yeah, and so this song is Art by Ishta and the Quarter Life Crisis. I hope you enjoy.
can play with my heart. Well, I keep going till I'm older now.
The annual Melbourne Pacifica Festival is on again, 10am to 7pm Saturday, December the 6th, at the playground end of Banjo Paterson Park in Lynbrook. Immerse yourself in the richness of Pacific Island culture with traditional dance, dynamic drumming, soulful harmonies, bands, guest artists, children's activities including rugby clinics, Pacifica arts and crafts, and yummy food. Lots of fun and activities for the whole family. Saturday, December the 6th in Lynbrook. Visit melbournepacificafestival.org. Melbourne Pacifica Festival is a 3CR supporter.
Fire! Brr.
Hi, this is Cheryl Lee Hood. You're invited to the 2025 Beyond the Bars CD launch on Thursday, the 20th of November at the Deering Centre next to Collingwood Town Hall. Put it in your diaries. I'll be there as MC for an evening of talks and music, including a panel discussion with some of our deadly broadcasters and music with Mr. Bar Willoughby. Thursday, the 20th of November, the Deering Centre, next to Collingwood Town Hall, 6:30 to 8:30pm. Free CDs, snacks and drinks provided. All welcome. See you there. Brrr.
Yeah, support Beyond the Bars, one of the best ever ongoing initiatives here at 3CR. I'm going to break with my transgender theme and play Bart Willoughby at the end of this show. But just in the last 5 minutes, I thought I'd talk about what we can expect next year from this show. So I feel like having it been about a year now since I did this show, and I've also become 3 decades old and become wise, I think, maybe not. I feel like there's things that I've really liked and want to do more of. So I'm keen to do some more pre-recorded interviews going out to certain places. But even though it's really important to hear what's happening in regional and rural communities, I do want to focus on the main topic of this show, which is suburbs and cities. So I have linked up with a pal and we're going to go traveling to different suburbs, particularly the outer suburbs, and we're going to talk to people living there, and we're going to basically talk about what's going on and expose just how awful they are for community, for people, and for justice, for marginalized communities, and of course for the environment. So that's going to be one thing. I'm also going to do some sort of investigative journalism into certain little aspects of our urbanized lives. I've already done a little bit, I think, so far on water, and had some interesting guests on water and water usage. And yeah, so I've got a whole bunch of things planned that way. Of course, we're going to be interviewing lots of interesting people. I've got a whole list to work my way through. Going to talk a little bit with some people next year about my hometown, Sydney. Some interesting work that some academics did on the right to the city and the urban divide in Sydney, and the absolute inequalities that exist there. And yeah, pretty exciting stuff lined up for next year. And I've just wanted to say thank you for everyone who's been joining me so far. I feel like I'm really proud of what I've put on the air this year, and I'm really happy that it's going well and people are sending me messages and stuff saying they enjoy it. And yeah, I feel really honored and privileged to have a show on 3CR and be able to do this, and that there's people who are into it, and I'm building a community of people who come on here who haven't been on 3CR before and to talk about these issues, and hopefully it just continues to expand and grow, and I'm always happy for people to come and join me in this adventure. The other thing I want to talk about next year, which will overlap with Stick Together, is I'm going to be doing some investigations and interviews with people in the horticulture industry, the garden maintenance industry, the landscaping industry, and out there in land management and conservation, because those industries are woefully inadequate for dealing with the climate crisis. And basically, we just need to completely rethink how we do things. We need to, what was good climate management, good management of nature, of wildlife, is stewardship, which is fundamentally incompatible with capitalism. And so that is something that I'll be educating about and also interviewing people about and researching about for next year. So it's going to be really exciting. So I'm excited about all that. And just doing more at 3CR because I love this place and I hope you love this place and that you support it. 3CR has been a lifeline for me since I discovered it in 2020. One more episode left in me before we go to repeats for the rest of the year. So I'll see you in a fortnight. Stay tuned now for Think Again. Don't forget about Beyond the Bars CD launch coming up. Don't forget, it's going to be a great concert. By Bart Willoughby there. So I thought I'd pull a song off the database here. Bart Willoughby, Speaking and Hard Time. Thanks again. You can catch the show at 3cr.org.au/killyourlawn. Stay tuned for the fabulous Think Again. And until next time, kill your lawn and kick your fence. Boop. There we go.
For those of you that can hear, what I essentially want to say is that what's happening here tonight is just one example of a whole series of events that happens right throughout the year within the Aboriginal community. We're attempting to rebuild our nation. We're attempting to lift our level or our standard of health. That's good health, to that level that it was prior to the arrival of white people to this country. What I'd also like to point out is that the Aboriginal communities right throughout Australia, since the advent of white people, since those 200 years, that lie of 200 years, where Aboriginal people have been denied their own resources, and that's their country. what happens to an Aboriginal nation or nations of people during that time is that they become very, very depressed because of the oppressive nature of colonialism here in Australia on the Aboriginal people.
Yoriba, my baby, come from the wrong side of town. Baby, love you, my woman, don't you ever be around. I'm loving you till the midnight come to dawn. Loving you, baby, don't get too much alone. Oh, baby, my river, my baby, don't come to me now.
I think that when we get an opportunity to reflect on the past, particularly with 1988 upon us, 1988, the so-called bicentennial, obviously Aboriginal people have nothing to celebrate. And those people who oppose racism ought to, along with the Aboriginal people, speak out very, very strongly against the bicentennial. And no celebration in Australia until such time as Aboriginal people's claims have been made, until Aboriginal claims for their land, rightful claims, are met. So Aboriginal people in the meantime have been suffering at an unbelievable rate. I won't bore you with all of those statistics, you don't want to hear them. But one problem we've had is that we've been denied the right to produce our own poetry.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.